We're doing Rav Chalap and Parshat Chayei Sarah. Our parsha begins with Avram discovering Sarah had passed away. It says, "Vayakom Avram el pnei mito." Avram gets up from dealing with his deceased wife. "Vaydaber el b'nechet," and now he says to the sons of Chet the following: "Kedei la'avin et ha'masah u'matan shel Avram im b'nei Chet." If we want to understand the dialogue, the negotiations between Avram and the descendants of Chet and Ephron the Hittite, so it would seem that they had a rule by them that someone who comes from another territory doesn't get the right to establish their own burial plot, to make their own cemetery, something that would be their family cemetery. And that's why Avram says, "Ger v'toshav anochi imachem." He says, even though until now I was a ger, I was a stranger who came here, and now I want to be toshav imachem. I want you to consider me like one of your citizens. He says, I want you to still give me this special treatment as though I've been a long-standing citizen here. Give me the rights to build my own cemetery here. And the Hittites tell him, "We respect you. You're a man of God in our midst. You could choose any burial plot you like to bury your dead. We'll each give you our own personal burial plot." They say, "You're a man of God, so we're not holding you bound by this rule. You can bury." Ephron says, I don't want to change the rules, even for Avram. And there's no way to give Avram a right to build a cemetery. Give him achuzat eretz. We can sell him a piece of land that he could use, but not to create his own cemetery. We can ignore what he'll do afterwards. In this public setting, I don't want to change our laws. Let's officially give him, I'll sell him the field, I'll sell him the cave. If afterwards he'll go against the law and build his own cemetery, we'll ignore it. I don't want to publicly make a declaration, I'm breaking the rules for Avram. So Avram asks, "I want the cave, and I want to pay full price, la chuzat kever. I don't want to go against the zoning rules here. I want you guys all to agree that I will make that into my cemetery. And I don't need the field." And Ephron says, "No, I'll let you buy the field. I'll let you buy the cave. We'll make a business deal. But I don't want to change the zoning rules. I don't want you as a newcomer to have a right to build your own burial plot here. I'm not giving you just the cave, because then everyone will realize, what did I give you the cave for? You're building a new cemetery. You're taking over a cave for a cemetery. I can give you the field with the cave, and then you do what you want, and it's none of our business. So you want, buy the field with the cave. Everyone will see in this public setting that I sold you that, and then everyone will see that we did not give in on our rules." And then he says, "After you've bought the field and the cave, then kvar meitecha, if you'll want to bury your dead there, that'll be your property. You'll do what you want." Avram agrees to it. Avram says, "I've given the money of the field. Take it." He says, "I want to pay for the field. If you give it to me as a gift, so then no one will believe me that I got the cave and the field. They'll think you gave me just the cave to use as a burial plot against the law." And Ephron tells him, "It's a land of 400 coins between me and you. What's the difference?" Ephron says to him, "We're such good buddies. What's 400 coins? He says, "People won't say they don't believe it. And people will still believe that I just gave you the land and the cave." And Avram understood from his answer that he wants such a high price. And that's why it says, "Vayishma Avram el Ephron." Avram understood what Ephron was saying. He wasn't saying, "I'm willing to gift it to you." He was saying, "This property is worth a lot of money." And that's why Avram right away took the hint and paid him the money. And this is a rule in life. We have to be prepared that sometimes people in politics give us hints, and we have to know how to take those hints. It's very important to know when you're being hinted and what you're being hinted. And if you're in the position where you can do the right things by catching the hints, catch the hints. Jews were always good at shmirin. It's It's an important Jewish trait. Many lives were saved during the Holocaust because people knew how to shmir correctly. In the Holocaust, in Russia, many lives were saved because good Jews knew how to shmir. They always say, you want things to go smoothly? Shmir it. Shmir is usually a term that's used for putting on fat. But it's slang for paying a bribe. So Jews always knew how to pay bribes in order to save people's lives, in order to get people out of danger, in order to bend the rules and let a guy out of a concentration camp or smuggle in food, etc. Shmiring, as the line is, it might work without it, but it'll certainly go more smoothly with it. So shmir. It's an important rule.